Tonight, I told you we had a special singer with us. She's from a long ways away, all the way beside the armory in Heflin. This is Sister Kim is with us tonight. She goes over to the Church of God of Heflin with Brother Kennedy, and I was hoping he would come one night. I love to aggravate him. He buys car parts from me, and we have a good time, but Kim does a good job singing, and her and Pat have practiced about 30 seconds, so y'all don't hold them to it, and Pat's threatened to kill me already when we leave. She said we'd have one less tomorrow night because she was going to kill me, but both of them's going to kill me. I tell them just there's not a big crowd here tonight, so just a good night of practice. So you just sing what the Lord's laid on your heart, and I know it's going to be great.
Amen.
Sound like they'd practice a bunch to me.
Yeah.
Sounded good. Abby, you got one to sing one? Ashton, you want to sing one? Stephanie?
I'm going
to
kill you.
Yeah, I can get away from them. I got to go home with them.
I used to ask this all night. I'm like, what don't you sing?
Yeah, I promise you don't want that to happen. But good to have everyone again. Brother Lamar, I didn't mention where he's from. He's from around Hiram, Dallas, Georgia, and that's we got one that teaches school up there. So she's probably responsible for some of the mean kids you pastored throughout the years.
Mine's,
but Brother Marv, he'll tell you a little bit about his mission work. That he does Mediterranean missions and has pastored churches, I guess, all around Powder Springs and Marietta and up around that area, and has taught Bible college for many years. And one thing I've been telling them up until this point, Lamar, is that they're going to hear one of the best preachers I've ever heard, but the bad thing is what they got to hear after you leave.
So,
Brother Lamar, you just come on, preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Amen.
God bless you.
Appreciate you. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with New Harmony tonight. And when I say New Harmony, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people in the building.
Amen.
And it's a real joy to be here and be with Chad and Stephanie and the girls again. And last time, gosh, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years since I saw them. They've grown up since then.
Amen.
And we appreciate Chad and what the Lord is doing here at New Harmony through him. Let me just say this about your pastor. I know I preached at a church yesterday in Douglasville, and they had pastor appreciation. And I preached on, will you pray for your pastor? And, beloved, I'm telling you, pastors need your prayers.
Amen.
And he can pray for himself. That's all well and good. His family can pray for him. But there's nothing that'll warm the heart of a pastor to know that his people are praying for him.
Amen.
And that's the greatest gift that you could give him as for pastor appreciation, to know that you have been praying for him on a daily basis during your quiet time. Really, he ought to be at the top of your list for your those that you pray for. I'm thankful that Stephanie brought me this glass bottle of water. The last time I preached, my wife brought me one, and it was about half this size because she knows that I time my message according to the amount of water that's in the bottle.
And so
she brought me a little small bottle, and I said, honey, you normally bring me a bigger bottle. She said, yeah, but I've heard this message before. But thank you so much. We're going to have a good time this week, and I trust that you'll pray for us. And who's the teacher that teaches in Paulding County? What school?
New Georgia Elementary.
What? You're right there. You're home, folks. Amen. Drive all the way down here from Paulding County. Amen.
No, I live here.
Oh, you live here?
She drives all the way up there to work.
Well, maybe you'll teach some of them kids something up there, okay? I've got a son. Yeah, I've got a son that lives in the Georgian over behind the school there. And I was with a couple this morning. She taught at New Georgia, Miss Chambers. I don't know
Georgie.
If you. Yeah.
And Tony.
Yeah, Tony. He had a heart cath today, and they were afraid he was going to have open heart surgery. And come to find out, it was just plaque in his arteries, and they're going to treat it with medication. So,
that's good.
If you get a chance, call her and say, hey, we prayed for Tony last night. Amen. But I hope that you'll invite, and after tonight, that you'll go home and say, you know, we had such a blessing around the Word of God last night, and I hope that you'll be here tomorrow night. You know, it's amazing how times have changed and churches have gotten away from having revival meetings. I'm thankful that I had a drunkard father-in-law, my wife's dad, that was 55 before he got saved. And it was in a revival service. My wife had had a miscarriage, and back then they'd keep you in the hospital overnight, you know, and she couldn't go to the revival that night. And we'd been praying for him for years and years, ever since we'd gotten married. And, of course, he came to see her in the hospital, and before he left, she was the only girl of three brothers. And anyway, he asked her, said, baby daughter, is there anything I can do for you? She said, "Yes, Daddy." She said, "We're having revival at church tonight. Would you go in my place?" He went that night, and that's when he got gloriously born again.
Amen.
God that night took the desire for liquor away from him. And don't tell me that God can't do a miracle today.
Amen.
Because he never touched another drop in his entire life after he got born again. And God gloriously saved him. And he's in heaven now, along with her mother and my parents. And we're thankful and grateful to be here tonight. I want to ask you to turn in your Bible tonight to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading with verse number 36. Verse number 36. And if you would, I'd like to invite you, if you would, to just stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. And we'll try to be as brief as we possibly can and bring you the message that I've entitled tonight, "What is a Committed Church?" What is a committed church? Beginning there in verse number 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off." That's referring to you and I. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this up toward generation." The word "up toward" there means perverse or crooked generation. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Our Heavenly Father, tonight we approach the throne of grace once again, seeking your guidance and your direction and your wisdom. And Father, I pray that our thoughts tonight would be your thoughts.
Amen.
I pray that the words that come from my lips would be your words. And Father, that your will would be done among your people here tonight. Father, we live in a country today that's never needed revival like it's needed today.
Amen.
Father, God's people have been silent for too long. Now it's time for us to be bold in our witness for the Lord Jesus. It's time for us to be faithful, because God says that we're to be faithful in all things. And Father, we're to be sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in our communities, but around the world. And Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Father, I pray that when we come to the end of this service, that hearts would be challenged and lives would be changed to do more for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the good of others. And we'll certainly thank you and praise you. And if there be one here tonight that's lost, God, would the Holy Spirit of God draw them to the foot of the cross that they might receive salvation from on high. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, in the last year and a half, after 30 years in the pastorate and 4 years as an assistant pastor, totaling 34 years that we've been in the pastorate and still in some form or another, still in the pastorate, but just in another part of the world. And that is that we've been going from church to church here in the Southeast and encouraging people in world missions. Beloved, I want to tell you, if you've ever visited a mission field in another country, there are things that are happening there that we only dreamed of when we first started in the ministry. Chad said that we're with Mediterranean Baptist Missions. And Mediterranean Baptist Missions is a mission that deals primarily in the Middle East. We also have some that are our founder and director, who is Egyptian, Brother Lazarus Benjamin. And Brother Lazarus has started three Arabic Baptist churches here in Southern California, where there's a large Arabic population. And they're now supporting works over in the Middle East, to where others of their family can come to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But people that have lived in darkness for so long and never seen the light of the marvelous truth of the gospel are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And beloved, I want to tell you, they are sold out lock, stock, and barrel. And their desire is to see their relatives who are groped in darkness and a false religion called Islam. They want to see them come to the truth of the gospel and be saved. And beloved, right now, Mediterranean has 86 Baptist churches in 5 countries in the Middle East. Just recently, we have gone into the United Arab Emirates in the city called Dubai, where 2 churches have been established. And now we've established one in the country of Jordan that's already running over 300 Arab people that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. Why? Because of the commitment of those that get saved and want to see others come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
We also have, and please, if you're around any Arab-speaking people here at the convenience store or any other places around the United States, please do not mention what I'm about to tell you, because we also have what is known as a secret church that's meeting in Saudi Arabia right now as I speak. Beloved, I'm telling you, God is drawing in the last harvest before he comes for his bride, the church, to rapture us out of this world, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until that time, Father, church, I believe that God is trying to speak to his church today and saying, what we must do for him, we must do now, for the night is soon coming when no man can work. And beloved, we are seeing people die every second around us, but no one seems to care. And no one has an evangelistic zeal any longer to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Beloved, if there ever was a time that we as Christians need to be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ, it's now.
Amen.
You say, well, people make fun of me. Well, I want to tell you, they made fun of Jesus Christ, but yet he still went to an old rugged cross and there died on the cross for you and I. And beloved, we need to realize that, hey, Jesus is coming back soon, and we need to be committed. And beloved, that's what we're not seeing in the churches that we've been in the last year and a half. You know, they're all for someone else going and telling someone.
Amen.
But they are afraid, and they've let Satan feed them a lie that they don't know how to be a witness. Well, I want to tell you, dear friend, if you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, all you got to do is tell someone what Jesus Christ did for your life.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, our brother was telling us before the service how he goes to the jail. And they said, well, Brother Ray, you don't understand what I've been through. And he said, oh, yes, I do. He said, I've been there, done that. And you haven't done anything that I haven't tried once.
Amen.
But God gloriously saved him, he said. And beloved, I want to tell you, that will do the job.
Amen.
And I will tell you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise, and that's a truth out of the Word of God. But a committed church is not built in one service. You see, it takes a great deal more than one sensational, spectacular service to build a New Testament, Bible-believing, hellfire, Holy Ghost, Baptist church. And when we think about the early church, we think about how God, in His sovereignty, reached down and saved 3,000 souls in one day. 3,000 souls in one day. Beloved, if we had the faith that those 12 apostles had, if we had the faith of Peter, who had denied the Lord three times and now went to the Sea of Galilee, and there Jesus told Peter, He said, "Peter, you might have denied me three times, but Peter, do you love me?" Amen. And he said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he asked him again, "Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you." And then the third time, he used the Greek word agape. He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" I believe he was looking at those fish in that frying pan. I believe he was looking at that draught of fishes that they were bringing to the shore to have a fish fry. "Beloved, do you love me more than your occupation? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your friends?" Because, dear friend, if you love Jesus, you're going to love those that you work with. You're going to love those family members that are still lost. You're going to love those friends that you work with. And you're going to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you see, historians tell me that within a 7-year period, that there were over 100,000 people that came to faith in Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem alone, in 7 years. But beloved, no church is a committed church that is not obeying the commands of our Lord. No church is a committed church that is not consistently winning people to the Savior. So I want to share with you just a few minutes for a little while tonight, the secret, or what is a committed church. What is a committed church? Now, there's several reasons that are given here in our scripture text tonight. First of all, I want us to know that in order for us to be a committed church, it has to have a converted membership.
Amen.
It has to have a converted membership. Look at chapter 2 in verse number 4. The Bible says, and talking about the apostles, or that 120 that were in that upper room, when the power of God and the Spirit of God, of the Holy Ghost, filled the room, and they began to utter things in other languages to where people that were there, and they were from all countries, and they spoke to them in their own language. And the Bible says in verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Beloved, can you imagine 3,000 souls getting saved? I mean, they didn't have a church. They had a synagogue. They had the Temple Mount. And, the rebuilt temple under Herod. They were not permitted in there. They were Gentiles that were there, not only just Jewish people. But the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
But I wonder how many it took to baptize 3,000 souls. Now, several times I've baptized in the Jordan River. And I want to tell you, I wouldn't have stayed in the Jordan River where the Sea of the Lake Gennesaret empties into the Jordan River, because the water is so cold. I mean, your legs, you can't even feel your legs. But I want to tell you, somebody that's a Baptist and they always want to get baptized in the Jordan River. Well, I want to tell you, dear friend, they may have never shouted in a church service back here in the States, but I guarantee you, when I take them in that cold water, they come up shouting, I guarantee you. Woo! Because it's cold. But you see, the Bible says they were added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, the question is, who did the adding on that occasion? How were these people added, and who did the adding? Well, you drop down to the last verse in this chapter, and the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse number 47, It says, praising God. They were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen.
Could I say to you tonight, dear friend, it's not up to us to save people. It's up to us to witness to people. It's the Holy Ghost's job to bring people under conviction to where they see themselves lost sinners, and it's the Holy Ghost. And Jesus did the saving on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
When he gave his life a ransom, and he rose again on the third day. But you see, the Lord added to the church. Could I ask you a personal question tonight? Have you received the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gained for us at Calvary's cross? Have you been added to the body of Christ? Have you just joined the church?
Amen.
I remember growing up in my hometown in our Baptist church. I remember I never had a real Sunday school teacher till I was a teenager in the teenage class. And J.W. Freeman was our teacher. Beloved, I want to tell you, he stood before that class and he taught us from the Word of God. He taught us that if we die in our sins, we're going to go to hell and we're going to be separated from God eternally. And he told us that we didn't have to. But if we would repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he would save us.
Amen.
He said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And beloved, what we need to understand is that church membership is not going to get us anywhere.
Amen.
You see, there's a lot of religions today, but we are not a religion. We are a body of believers that believe in a person and not some denomination or some form of religion.
Amen.
You see, we worship a Redeemer, not a religion.
Amen.
You say, well, I thought we were a religion. Well, that's what the world calls us. But I want to tell you, I'm a Christian first, and I'm a Baptist by choice.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, salvation has a divine part as well as a human part. So let's look at God's part. Look at verse number 39, if you would. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God. Now notice these next two words. Shall call. Shall call. Now what does that mean? If you're saved today, then what God did for these people, God has done for you if you've been born again.
Amen.
You see, he called you. That word call, there's a call. God calls men unto himself and women. And in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 24, the Lord said, I have called you and you have not answered.
Amen.
You see, God calls men unto himself. And this means that God takes the initiative in man's salvation.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But the problem that most people have with doubt and doubting their salvation, they doubt whether or not they did what needs to be done. Beloved, may I say that salvation is something that's already done.
Amen.
Jesus did it completely when he arose. He died and arose from the dead for our justification. Just as if we had never sinned.
Amen.
You see, he restored that relationship that Adam lost for us in the beginning in the book of Genesis. You see, who was it that came to Adam when he and Eve sinned in the garden? Adam ran from God.
Amen.
But I will tell you, you can't run. There's no distance that you can run to get away from God.
That's right.
Because when you get there, God's waiting on you.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, dear friend, Adam might have ran from God, but God came to Adam. And God speaks in unusual and strange and off the ordinary ways sometimes. I don't think nobody ever gets saved the same way except, one was telling me, you know, he had to meet a girl before he ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of men that wouldn't be saved today if it wasn't for their Christian girlfriend that led them to Jesus Christ. I got a friend of mine. He owns a dealership in Carrollton, Georgia. He was 36 years old when he got married. And his wife now is the one that she wouldn't go out with him. He'd ask her. She was working at the dealership that he was a salesman at then. And he kept asking her to go out. She wouldn't ask him. He wouldn't go out. So she just read him the rites, and he got saved that day, and he's been saved ever since. Amen. Been saved ever since. We went all the way through first through the 12th grade together. And old Mike was just as lost as a goose. Lost as a goose. But I want to tell you, there's something about the divine call of God, because it brings about divine conviction.
Amen.
You see, that's the problem today. You know, that little church I was telling you that I grew up in, and I didn't hear the gospel presentation one time. I heard preaching, but here's what the preacher would do. He would come down, and bless his heart, I don't fault him, because he was just doing the best he could with the help of the Holy Spirit. But he said, you know, you need to come down here and join this church. Join this church. They'd come down, and he said, get over there and pray. Nobody show him from the Bible what it was to be saved. And you know, later on, I was a grown man, married, gone through the service, come home, and of course, we had a revival meeting that my father-in-law got saved in, and they were 45 people that were church members that had never had a personal experience of salvation that got saved. That got saved.
Amen.
Brother and sisters, I'm telling you, the only one that knows whether or not they're saved is the person that you're talking to.
Amen.
You see, I know what Jesus Christ did for me. And if you say you're saved, then praise God for that. But I want to tell you, dear friend, there's a lot of people out there that thinks that being a church member or being good. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one.
Amen.
And you're looking at one. I want to tell you, I may be a preacher, but I'm telling you, I still have this old flesh to contend with.
Amen.
And it ain't gonna receive redemption until I come out of the ground or I go and get changed somewhere between here and there. You see, your soul and spirit's the only thing that's received redemption and salvation. Your body will receive salvation in the rapture or if you're resurrected from the grave. That's the only way.
Amen.
Let me just go on and say this. It says that when Peter preached this sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were pricked in verse 37 in their heart. That word prick means that they were actually stabbed in their heart. I mean, they were cut to the core.
Amen.
And they saw themselves that all of their Judaism and all of their ritualism was not going to get them to heaven. But there was God robed in flesh in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
And He died for our sins. Beloved, that's a converted. That's God's part. But man's part, what does man do? Well, in verse number 38, when they ask, what can we do? Peter said, you know, you need to repent and believe and be baptized. Now, I put the word believe because you go through the Bible. You see, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth man believeth unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto salvation, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so man's part, when a man knows that he's lost, that's when, here's the problem with most people. Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. You show them that in the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm a good husband, or I'm a good wife. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I'm a good son, or I'm a good daughter. But they've never, with their heart and with their mouth and with their mind, said, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me from my sins. You see, it takes you. That's the only thing that you can do, because it's salvation is complete in Christ.
Amen.
You don't need to do anything else. Well, if one gets saved, does he sin again? I want to tell you, you're going to have a problem with this flesh, and your spirit is going to war with this flesh, and you're going to have thoughts that are impure. You're going to say things without thinking that are wrong. And beloved, I want to tell you, that's the whole reason that God gave us the book of 1 John. If we confess our sins as Christians, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You see, He not only died for our past sins, but He died for our present and our future sins as well. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. What? Listen to that little word. All sin. Past, present, and future. Aren't you glad of that? But I want you to notice, secondly, a converted membership is not only a converted membership, but it's a constant ministry. A constant ministry. Look at verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly. Now, there's four characteristics of a growing ministry here that we see in verse number 42. Notice, first of all, they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. Or in their teachings. That's why we come to church. To be edified. To be challenged. To be instructed on how to take the sword of the Spirit and use it for the evil that is in the world. Use it to edify and to evangelize and instruct people in the ways of God. And so they had the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is nothing more than teaching. Now, there are certain doctrines that you'll find in the Word of God that you have to live by. But notice, they not only continued in the apostles' doctrine, but secondly, in fellowship. You see, they were sharing with one another. Sharing with one another. And then thirdly, they were breaking of bed. They were breaking of bed, breaking of bread. They were remembering what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We do that when we have the Lord observe the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. But here's the important thing. These are important. But notice, in prayers. You see, that's the powerhouse of every church. Is the prayer.
Amen.
Is prayer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great preacher of years and days gone by in the country of England. I've been to Spurgeon's church in London. It's in the Elephant District. If you ever go to London and you want to go to see Spurgeon's, it's burnt about three times and they rebuilt it back. But Mr. Spurgeon was never ordained by the brethren. But he was called of God.
Amen.
To preach the gospel. Spurgeon preached to 5,000 people three times a day. And Sunday morning, he preached to the church. Sunday night, he preached to sinners. A group of young preachers went to visit Spurgeon, and they wanted to know the secret of his power with God. He took the men down in the basement of the church. And on the door in the basement, they had a sign that said boiler room. And the students looked at one another, and what's he taking us to the boiler room for? And then he opened the door and swung it open, and there were 700 men in that room that were praying for Spurgeon, and they did that every Lord's Day and every time that church met.
Amen.
Praying while he preached.
Amen.
Praying while he preached. Can you imagine what God would do at New Harmony Baptist Church if there was a group of men that would take it upon themselves, maybe two, maybe three, out of a church, and they would spend the entire worship service praying as Brother Chad was preaching to the church and to the lost people that would come into his church. Beloved, I want to tell you, without prayer, there can be no power.
Amen.
Without prayer, there can be no power. But let me say a third thing, and I'll be through. My wife will be so proud of me. Look at verse number 47. Verse number 47 says they were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now we see the word added there, but if you're adding daily such as should be saved, then there is a continual multiplication that is taking place here in this early church. Now, I want you to understand, they didn't have a King James Bible back then. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have a complete Bible.
Amen.
It was not completed yet. They just had scrolls. But you see, men like the Apostle Paul, Brother Luke, Peter, James, John, they were in God's school till the time God took them home. And they left us what is known as our Bible today.
Amen.
This word is forever settled in heaven. And beloved, I hear guys say all the time, well, you know, I don't believe we'll ever experience revival in our churches again. Well, beloved, I don't care if they say that a million times, I'm still going to have revivals. I still want to preach revivals. I still want to encourage the people of God to get out there and tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And let them know that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
I don't know how many times in nearly 40 years that I've taught in Bible college, how many times I've preached and taught through the book of Daniel and Revelation and the major and the minor prophets. But beloved, I want to tell you, there all the prophecies leading up to the rapture of the church have already been fulfilled. And the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ could come before we end this service tonight.
Amen.
That's how close we are to the rapture of the church. Now, I want you to understand something. When God raptures the church, he's going to take the Holy Ghost with us.
Amen.
And then all hell is going to break loose for 7 years upon the face of this earth. Yes, there'll be people saved because God is going to set apart 144,000 of Jewish evangelists that is preached like you've never heard people preach before. They're going to preach with the power and the demonstration of God Almighty. And there's going to be a host of people that are saved during that 7-year period. But I believe with all of my heart, beloved, it'll only be those that are saved during the tribulation period that's never heard the gospel presented one time in their lives.
Amen.
People in America, you turn on the TV every Sunday morning, you see preachers on the cert that are warning people, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. The last thing that Jesus said in the book of Revelation and the end of the Bible was, come, come, come. And how could we neglect so great a salvation?
Amen.
How could we neglect so great a message? Stephanie works in the medical field. Some others work in other fields. But if she were to come in today or tomorrow night and say, they have found a cure for cancer, I want to tell you that would spread like wildfire through the world.
Amen.
But beloved, we've got something greater than the cure for cancer.
Amen.
And that's the cure for eternal damnation.
Amen.
For a lost soul separated eternally. As long as heaven is, hell will be. And hell was never created for you or me or any lost person. Hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
And beloved, what we need to realize, that they were praising God. When's the last time that you spent an entire service just praising God?
Amen.
Praising God. For the last couple of weeks, I had filled in at a church without a pastor over in Marietta at Central Baptist Church. There's a lady in that church by the name of Miss Nellie. She's 95 years old. She had a little accident in her home. She was still living by herself. She had a little accident and fell and had to go in the hospital. Somebody said she wanted to see me. I'd quit preaching there, but she wanted to see me. So I went up to the hospital and I walked in a room and she said, "Preacher, I love you." Now that thrilled some people, but I didn't know what she's talking about, a 95-year-old, and she's telling me she loves me. But she loved my preaching. And I said, "Well, it's God's word. I'm just saying what he wants me to say." But she said, I'm going home pretty soon. And she wasn't talking about her earthly home. She was talking about her heavenly home. She said, "I want you to preach my funeral." I said, "Well, Miss Nelly, the church has asked me to come preach homecoming for you. My son Tim's going to do the singing. They love Tim at that church. Tim is our oldest son. He's the lead singer for the Old Pass Quartet, if you don't know who my son is. But he sings around here a lot. But anyway, I went back, and guess who showed up for homecoming? Miss Nellie. She got up. I said, "Miss Nellie, it's good to have you here today. You got a word?" "Yes, I do." "I'm 95. I was here when this church started. Unless I was sick, I never missed a service." Folks, I'm going to tell you, God gloriously saved me. And Christ died for me.
Amen.
And I want you to know God's been good to me. And this is probably the last homecoming I'll attend. And then in just a few weeks, she was back in the hospital. They sent her over to hospice. She told Brother Mark, their minister of music, said, "Call Brother Lamar." Well, Miss Nelly, he's out of town. He had to go to a board meeting up in Tennessee. Oh, my goodness, call him. Tell him I'm almost ready to cross over. And for 2 weeks, she's been in hospice. And different ones from the church would go over there and they'd sing the old hymns. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. I went up and they said, "Preacher, you got to get back to see her." I got back that afternoon. I went over to the hospital. I walked in there. I said, "Miss Nelly, what you doing over here?" She said, "I'm getting ready to go home. Jesus is coming after me." Another week went by. She's still singing the glory down, praying, "Oh, dear Lord, please come get me, Lord. Please come get me." I was over there Saturday. Me and her got to singing a duet. I'm telling you, I like to have a spell. But I was afraid to leave the room, afraid they'd put a straitjacket on me. But she is just singing the glory down. And then last night at 10 o'clock, the call went out. Go get my child. Oh, I tell you, Miss Nellie's walking down those streets of heaven in that spiritual body, praising him, the one that saved her by his grace. Amen. Oh, listen, folks, I'm telling you. I heard a teenager say one time in a testimony meeting, he said, "Preacher, I'm telling you," he said, "it's been so good here tonight." He said, "If I could get saved, I'd get saved all over again." But I want to tell you, it only takes one time. Because he saves. What he does eternally. Amen. Does eternally. What about you? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time that with your own lips, you personally said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and save me"? I want to tell you, beloved, that's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life is when you get born again from above. Amen. Because death no longer has any power over you, because you're going to live. You're going to die no never. You're going to live forever. And he's taken the stinger out of death. Amen. And beloved, heaven is our home. What about your family? Are you thinking about somebody in your family right now that's lost? And if they died tonight, they'd spend eternity in hell. Well, I guess that's my wife telling me my time's up. Thank you, honey. But let me tell you this. A good place to start in praying for your loved one is right here in this altar.
Amen.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? I want to tell you, my father-in-law, I would leave work and I'd stay up half the night witnessing to him in his drunken stupor, to no avail. And I was praying, "Lord, save Diane's daddy." I heard a message on specific prayer. And he said, "If you've got a lost one, you call their name before the throne of God."
Amen.
it wasn't 2 weeks after we started praying, God save Grady Chambers, that he got born again. You say, well, God knows who we are. Sure he does. But he wants us to show our faith that God can save him where we couldn't.
Amen.
So lay him on the altar of sacrifice laid. Say, God, I've talked to him till I'm blue in the face, but now I'm turning him over to you for you to save him. Some way, somehow, in your own time, bring them to Christ. Bring them to yourself. And beloved, God has never told a lie, and God never will.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, would you do something in every heart that's here tonight that only you can do? Father, give us that burden for the lost, whether it's a family member, a friend, or a co-worker, or a classmate, or whoever it might be. Lord, put them on our heart. And Lord, let us not stop praying until they come in one day and they say, God saved me last night, or God saved me today. And Lord, we could shout the victory that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. And Father, revive us again that we might be servants, bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying what you have called us to do, and that's to be your witnesses of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Brother Chad, you come.
Come with a verse of invitation. Everyone would please stand. There's no way to make it any more simpler than Brother Lamar's made it. I was thinking as he was praying, we talk about revival, and to be revived, you've had to be alive. You can't revive something that's never been alive. And so I want to ask you, do you remember the time when the Lord saved you? Do you remember the zeal, the excitement, you wanted to tell somebody? I do. I remember wanting to go tell my mama, went to work. A guy I'd been working with had been saved, and I couldn't get to work to tell, wait to get to work to tell him. Only day I'd probably ready to get to work.
Right.
But I couldn't wait. And then life begins happening, and we begin losing that zeal. And it takes the Lord to shake us. To get us to understand that we need to get that. Listen, it's no secret that what state people are in around us, they know nothing of the Lord. They haven't been told. They haven't been witnessed to. People have stopped. We have forgotten what God has done for us, or either he's never done nothing for us, one of the two. He's done it for us if we've accepted it and received it. But tonight I'm going to ask you, Brother Mars asked you already, do you know him? Do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Has there ever been a time in your life, I'm not talking about when you walked an aisle and decided to get into a baptism pool or the river or the creek, there been a time that you called out and asked the Lord to save you from your sins and to reconcile you to himself? If you hadn't, Alton Stamey up in Tallapoosa has always said it as plain as anybody I've ever heard. He said, if you hadn't, then he ain't. If you hadn't asked him, he hadn't saved you. So tonight, what will it be? God don't send these messages for no reason.
Right.
He knew of what people was going to be here tonight. Didn't surprise him who was going to come, who wasn't going to come. He laid this message on Brother Lamar's heart. He knew exactly what he was doing. Nothing's ever caught him off guard. Nothing will ever catch him off guard.
That's right.
He's completely sovereign, completely perfect. As this song plays tonight, will you come? Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you just have lost the desire, the zeal to tell others. Will you come tonight and ask him to renew that fire inside of you?
Yes.
If not, will you come and pray for some lost loved one, one that don't know him? That's what the church has missed, is doing that. I told this story and I'll tell it again. Our pastor at one time at Concord asked us to get somebody to pray for. And for some reason, the Lord put on my heart the most stubborn man I know. And I'll call his name tonight if he was here. He wouldn't mind, Johnny Norton. Most stubborn man I've ever knew. grew up with his family. I see him on a regular basis and thought, Lord, he will never come. I know he'll never come. But I began praying. Did I pray every day? No, there's days I forgot. But as I would remember, I would pray. And one day, Brother Johnny went to the doctor and he had kidney cancer. And it took that kidney cancer to get Brother Johnny's heart to soften. And today, you can go to Concord Baptist Church about any time, you'll see Brother Johnny Norton. Not a single thing I did, but I did call his name out to the Lord. And it'll work. God's still in the business. Will you come at this time? Will you come?